All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is February 19th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great for wherever you are at. It is Monday. It is a holiday, President's Day. Big day. Hope everybody's off and enjoying it, hanging out with family. It's pretty cool. It is interesting. You know, where we moved, I've shared this before. We live in a very seasonal town, so this time of year, not many people are down here, but President's Day weekend always brings all the people, so we've had neighbors and big parties going on around the town, and so it's been a lot of fun. It's good to see folks coming back to the area. It's sort of the precursor to summer, but yeah, President's Day weekend, historically, we've had snow, believe it or not. I shouldn't say that, historically. We've had snow on President's Day weekend several times. I wouldn't say it's historic, but we did have a huge, the big Snowmageddon storm we had on President's Day weekend. That's probably been 8 or 9, 10 years ago, maybe 8 years ago. But traditionally, I always remember President's Day weekend as a snow weekend. We actually got some snow, not yesterday, I guess it was Friday. Maybe Saturday morning, Friday to Saturday morning, we did have a little snow. So, you know, right on schedule, President's Day weekend gets a little snow. Just wasn't very much. I know they got much more snow up north. We just got a dusting. But once again, it is it can be a big snow weekend. Not this time though. But yeah, it's nice. You know, I thought I'd sit down. I don't have a lot going on. I don't know if I talked about. So I was telling I had the call the other day from my buddy's mom looking for him, and we found him. We found him. He was, I guess the police, they had to call the police to go over there. They went over there, knocked on the door, and he didn't answer. And so they left, and the mom was like, can't you just go in and check, you know, do a welfare check? And they said, listen, we can't, unless we hear like moaning or screaming, we can't go past the threshold there. And so his mom calls me and she's beside herself and she's like, can you just go over there? And I'm like, listen, I can't, right? I'll do only so much. There's only so many things that I can do. You know, ego wants to jump in and fix everything. Ego wants to jump in, kick in the window, kick down the door. But I've learned, right? We can't do that. And so I have to sometimes, you know, as painful as it is, sometimes my hands are tied, and I have to remind myself that because my ego thinks that I can fix everything. And one of the things about getting sober is that, at least for me, when I got sober, I wanted to fix everybody, right? And so I've had to learn I can't do that, right? I can only live by example, lead by example, I guess, live and lead, right? But that's the best I can do. And I got a text from his mom, said the cops went in, they found him, he was in there, and he was drunk, he was not dead, and I'm like, you know, this fucking disease never ceases to amaze me. great song. Now, it's so funny I think about that, the Scorpions and that album Blackout. And that was right when I was starting to become interested in using drugs and alcohol. Such a trip. Take me back down memory lane. Not that I was interested in using it. I was interested in the friend that introduced me to this music, my big boy, my buddy Danny. Danny Mann, he was a Scorpions guy. He introduced us. I remember it was like summer, and we were listening to this album. I was like, this is the greatest time of my life, right? And so, but yeah, they found him, and he was alive, just as I suspected. It's, I'm amazed what we can put our bodies through, the shit that we put our bodies through, and somehow continue to live. And his mom texts me, and she's like, they found him. He's alive. She's like, can you go over there and talk to him? I'm like, I can't. I cannot go over and talk to him. I cannot. I will not. I am all about helping an alcoholic. I will do whatever I can to help somebody as long as they want help, right? As long as they are interested and want to follow some simple directions, and one of those being don't pick up a drink, right? And I've worked with this guy. He's like one of 50, right? He's the same. He's a guy that's been, he gets caught too much. He would prefer to drink himself right into the fucking grave. That's exactly how I was. I would have drank myself right into the grave. I didn't care. I would be disappointed in the morning, shocked in the afternoon, and then right back in it in the evening, and it would all go over every day, one day after another, right? The same old shit. And there was nothing stopping me. There is nothing stopping me. And it is, this is my opinion. You, whatever you want to think is whatever you want to think, but I'm going to tell you my opinion. This is a disease. This is a possession by a devil. And it's called ego, pride, whatever you want to call it, but it is being possessed by a devil. And one moment happens, comes every once in a while, that breaks the devil free from us. Mine was getting punched in the mouth. I just happened to get punched in the mouth. I just happened to be embarrassed and ashamed to a level where I didn't want to just go to work. I wanted to find an alternative to facing the music, right? Which is me basically showing up to work and everybody going, what the fuck happened to you again? Right? I was ashamed. Ego got me sober. As weird as that is, ego got me sober. I was too embarrassed to go one direction, so I chose a different one. And that direction happened to give me the opportunity to get sober. While the little, like Anthony Kiedis said, at some point the window opens just a little bit and sometimes we can jump through. And I did not want to get sober that day. Didn't. I've said that before. I did not wake up on March 31st, 1997 with a desire to get sober. In fact, I thought this, I might have said it in a podcast, there wasn't ever a time I ever wanted to be sober. Ever. Ever. Now, I had moments of clarity, like when I was in jail. I've had moments where, you know, I was forced to, or, you know, like when I was in jail, I'm like, I'm getting sober. It's over. I'm done. This is it. Went to a bunch of meetings in jail. I'm getting my chrono signed, whole thing, right? I'm different. I'm better. This is it. Got high the day I got out, right? It's all bullshitting myself. And so I don't know how it happens, right? It's when the little window opens up just enough so we can squeeze through. And, you know, hopefully we're surrounded by people that can give us some guidance, right? And like I told that lady, there is nothing I can do to get this guy sober. I'm definitely not talking to him under the influence, right? I worked with him a while back. And I said this, I love this guy. He's a great guy. Once again, an awesome human being destroyed by self-will run riot, right? And that's exactly what's happening to him. Terrific guy. And I not only do I want to help him, I really like him, right? He's come out paddling. He's strong, right? He's fit. He's one of these guys I see. When I see people that are struggling in this program, I see human beings that can still be salvaged, right? I'm like, this guy, look at him. He's young. I mean, I don't know, 40, right? He's fit. He's tall, good-looking guy. I go, we can still save this guy. He's got hope, right? And, you know, you can only do so much. And so I've worked with him many times, tried. The reason I don't work with him is because he was doing what he wanted to do. And I said, listen, I can't, you know, I can't be your sponsor. If this is, there's nothing special about me, but I know one thing, I'm not wasting my time, right? And nobody wasted their time on me. I shouldn't say that. Some people wasted their time on me. I shouldn't say that. That's absolutely not true. They absolutely wasted their time on me, but I'm not going to, I mean, I think if you have some time and you are working with newcomers, I think you can sort of sense, right? I sense it, right? You have people that say, you say, hey man, you need to go to a meeting every day. Oh, okay. Well, I can't go to this meeting and I got to do this before this meeting. And I'm like, hey, you know what? Good luck. I appreciate you. I'll see you around, right? Because if I'm going to work with somebody, I'm going to work with somebody that's willing to do whatever it takes to get sober. And that means to go to any meeting at any time, any day, any time, any place, regardless of the smell, the sunshine, the location. I don't give a shit if it's in the middle of a fucking cow pasture surrounded by manure. If this is what you want, you will do whatever it takes to get sober. And if somebody has these moments where they're like, well, I can't go to that meeting because it smells. It has a smell to it. And I can't do this meeting because of this. And I'm like, I get you. I appreciate you. I get it. Good luck. And we'll talk to you later, because that's not willingness. And when I was working with him, you know, it was sort of like that. And I said, listen, I can't be your sponsor. I mean, I'll be your friend. You know, my phone is on if you need me, but I can't. I'm not going to get, because I know where this is headed. And so when his mom's like, can you go talk to him? I'm like, he's had fucking 2 months to call me, right? He's had every opportunity to call me. I'm right here, right? He was paddling with us, kept not showing. My paddle coach is like, what do I do with this guy, man? He goes, kick him off the paddle group. I mean, he's just another human, right? But he was letting people down, not showing up, canceling. He just all that self-centered behavior. And so he's not paddling. And I think he got mad because Dave, you know, was like, hey, you know, don't sign up anymore because we build a team around you and then you don't show up. And so regardless, I hope he's okay. I am here. I'm always here. I told his mom. She goes, well, what advice do you have for me to help him? I said, stop helping him. Right. And she goes, that's really difficult from a mother's point of view. And I go, listen, as a parent of three kids, I get it. But at some point, the more you help, the more you hurt. And that's easy for me to see. It's easy for people around us to see it. It's hard for us as a parent to see it. I get caught in this all the time. Right. And I'm not, you know, it starts off, you know, for me as an example, it starts off, you know, early. It has nothing to do with drugs and alcohol, right? But it's these little habits that we allow our kids or even people in our life to get away with because we love them, right? Or, you know, they're cute, right? Our kids are awesome. And, you know, my daughter and my son are the same way. I tell them, you know, clean this room. Okay. And then they don't. I'm like, I told you to clean your room, right? What's the deal? But I don't, like, get upset. I don't crack down. I'm getting better. That's what's great about my wife and I's relationship. We try to balance each other out. And, you know, and I've talked about this. We had an agreement. I wasn't doing a very good job on certain things. And she's very relentless with certain things, especially when it comes to phones and when it comes to, you know, time on computers and time on Oculuses. And we just had this the other night, Friday night. She's like, you know, Sam, you know, come get off the Oculus. He was upstairs on the Oculus. And I'm like, part of me is like, why? Why does he have to get off? It's Friday night. You know, it's 10:30, right? It's not a school night. And she goes, he has to be off the Oculus at 10:30. This is what we do. He comes down. He can be on the computer from 10:30 to 11:30 or whatever. He can look at his phone, but he's off that Oculus. And I was like, oh, okay. And he came down and put it down and, you know, was happy, right? And so, yeah, thank you. I'm glad, because I would have probably let him stay up. That was sort of the problem. I was letting him stay up till 1 in the morning playing these damn things. I'm like, well, who cares, right? It's Friday night. No, it's not good. And these are all, you know, unfortunately, this kind of behavior, as simple and as innocent as it seems, can end up, you know, into your adulthood, and then God only knows what could possibly happen. Maybe nothing bad. Who knows? But, you know, the point is that I can't help somebody who isn't really willing or ready, right? And one of the big things I had to even identify was, is why was I even here? I've said this before. I just got caught too much, right? I never wanted to get sober. There wasn't a time. I didn't, you know, I never tried to program. I'd gone to programs because people were wanting me to get sober, right? But I really just got caught too much. And so I had had some experience with 12-step programs, but not because I wanted to, right? It was because I had to. And I can only say this so many times. It's all about perspective. And out of those times, my perspective was I got caught too much. I didn't want to get sober. I was just trying to satisfy other people's worries, and I got nowhere. But I didn't want to get sober, right? I didn't want to get sober. I didn't care. And when I came into the program, I still didn't want to get sober. But I had to figure that out, right? I had to take an honest, hard look at what my real problem is. And my real problem is that I'm just self-centered. I remember when I realized this, this floodgate of opened up of all these ideas of what I was, which was a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. When I realized that, it's all I could fucking think about. I'm like, oh my God, this is what my problem is. It has nothing to do with alcohol, right? Today, I don't have an alcohol problem. I have a self-centered problem. And that's what this program teaches us. And it also teaches us how to remove fear. Who has fear? Self, right? Humility isn't afraid. Humility is like, this is great. We got this. I'll be good. But self's like, you know, what's going to happen? Who's going to know, right? It's all this perspective. And so when I started to realize that, it was because I was like, how come I drank after 5 years, right? And I had to peel it all back and realize this is about identifying why I'm really here. And now, you know, today I know that I am a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. That is my real problem. It has nothing to do with alcohol. If I don't manage that problem, alcohol will become another problem, right? And drugs, and money, and bad behavior, and all that other shit that comes along with it. But for today, I have a thinking problem, and it's about keeping myself humble. But like I told his mom, you can't help him. The more you help, the more you hurt. And that doesn't always sound good to people, and I understand. I understand nobody wants to hear that, especially a parent. But you know, I think it happens in all of our lives. I know, you know, a lot of people find sobriety when everybody finally gives up on them, right? The only people that sort of rally around a person like that is usually a person in a program. You hear it all the time. They come in, they've lost everything. Family's done with them. Their job's done with them. It's it. It's over. And that's where you start to find an AA family or a program family, because those are the last people, they won't give up on you as long as you're working at it, as long as you're working at it. But at some point, you can only do so much. And so, you know, I would love to get a phone call from him. I would love to help him. And what would I do? What would you do, Tom, to help him? I'd say, hey, I'm going to a meeting. You want to go? Right. Hey, I'm going to this meeting tonight. You want to go tonight? Hey, I'm going to go to this meeting tonight. You want to meet me there? That's what I would do. That's it. Go to meetings. Do that for a while. You know, people come in, they go to meetings, they want to do the steps, they want to get crazy, let's get it fixed. I say, just go to meetings, right? Don't worry about the steps, right? Don't worry about the traditions. Don't worry about, you know, taking on responsibilities. Your job is to go to a meeting. I would say you need to go to a meeting every day. Every day. Go to a meeting. And do that for 30 days. Pick up your white chip or whatever it is. And then, you know, we'll see how you're doing. Right? We'll see how you are doing. But that's, you know, if a person can't go to meetings, every time someone that goes back out, I just talked to my buddy the other day. It's the same thing that happened to me. If people stop going to meetings, they're going to pick up. I'm sorry, but that's just sort of how it is. Meetings are, you know, the binder that keep us in this program. And they're, a lot of challenges come with meetings. In fact, I was just talking to my sponsor. He just called me and we were talking about it. I'm like, meetings, you know, meetings are an inconvenience. Meetings suck. Just like I said in that other podcast, meetings suck. Fuck meetings. Who wants to go to a goddamn meeting? Right? We're better. Especially when, like for me, as low as I was, right, the lowest point I could possibly be and living there, when I got better, I started to have like money, right? I started to have, you know, relationships, a job, a decent car. People liked me. Ooh, man, that's sometimes hard to take. It's real easy to get caught up in that and forget about those simple meetings, right? And it's not good. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it'll take a week. Maybe it'll take 10 weeks. Maybe it'll take a year. Maybe it'll take 10 years. But if you are not going to meetings, you will eventually drink again. I'm sorry to say. Or you will be so fucking miserable that nobody will can stand you. And that's a real thing, too. And, I hope, you know, I hope the best for my buddy. Went to, that was the other thing. I went to the meeting on Saturday. It was on the fourth step. I reached out to my buddy. You know, this is fun. I talked to my buddy, Jimmy Kay. He came down, went to the meeting with him. I knew, you know, I've shared my struggles a little bit, whether it's with him or other people, with the Zoom meetings. And I love when he was like, I need to get back to meetings. And I absolutely love this guy. And he was at the meeting and he shared, and fucking just as I knew it, you know, amazing stuff poured out of his mouth because he's got 30 freaking something years, man. And he's smart and he's been to the top and the bottom and he's been back to the top. And he just is a wealth of knowledge. And I, you know, for a guy like myself, I can sit down in front of this microphone. I can go to meetings. I can sit down at the microphone. I can share what I think, right? But, you know, I've always said, work with a sponsor, read these steps, work with other people. This is your journey, right? I'm just sort of sharing mine, but, you know, it is, it's always changing, right? And I can get caught up into what I think, right? And I can sort of, you know, buy my own bullshit, right? And then I hear my buddy James talk and I'm like, yes, right? And he was a great reminder. You know, it was on the fourth step. I have done these steps. I have done a fourth step. I don't know if I personally have done a very good fourth step. I've definitely not gone deep into the fourth step. I have, you know, I shared before I did it once with my buddy Mike and then was too afraid to do the fifth step with him. So I went and found another person and then I did a half-ass fifth step. And then when I came back into the program and I did a fourth step with my buddy Matt, and then I went back and found Mike and did a better fifth step. And really, I don't even know if my fifth step was great. I just know there was some really embarrassing personal things, right, that I was really embarrassed about. And I knew that is what I had to say, right? I knew that is what I had to say out loud to another person. I'm not sure a lot of the miscellaneous little things were important, but I know there was some shit in there that I was not telling anybody, right? And I knew that it was important that I said those, and I did. But, you know, when it talks about the fourth step, there's these, you know, it's about sex and pride and money and different things. I don't know if I ever really did a great fourth step to a point where, because, you know, I still have some issues, right? I still get, you know, I still get pissed about certain things, right? I'm not always super chill, right? I can have, I have moments, right? And I don't know if the fourth step, a really well-done fourth step would help, but I know that I use the fourth step in a lot of the things that go on in my life, right? You know, I have, whether it's especially good things, I have a way more good things that happen in my life today. Or at least they appear good, right? The ego likes them, pride likes them, feels good, shoulders back, yada, yada, yada. But those are dangerous too, right? And so I have to really do a four-step on a lot of these really good things too because, you know, too many good things happen to me and shit can go off the rails. So I have to do, and I try to figure out what's behind it, right? You know, I told you, I shared we were selling a house. that's sort of happening. You know, there's going to be money involved. Pride's like, oh, here we go. It's about time, right? It's about time. And I want to, there's a side of me that wants to be a big shot, right? And buy things and have things and do things and hang with people. And that's all ego. That's all devil, right? And there's part of me that, you know, wants to take a portion of money to make our life easier, right? Our life is easy. there's parts of me that wants to give ourselves money so that we have a little more freedom. I'm like, well, what are we going to spend more money now? Because we've been, you know, I've shared, we're broke, right? We're paycheck to paycheck. And my wife's like, well, we should put some money so we don't have to worry. And I go, but yeah, but that inside, you know, there's this part of me that's like, that's what keeps us sort of grounded, right? The struggle. Right, the struggle to get by and hang on, and like we have been doing for so long, and you know, we can make some money and be free of all that. But when, for how long are we free of all that? And what's the cage on the other side look like? Because it doesn't last forever, right? And you know, so I have to sort of do a four step on it. And you know, the reality is that we just need to put the money in the bank and invest it and save it, right, for another day. And keep struggling like we've been doing, and know that if and there's really no reason why shit should hit the fan. You know, I work. We know how much we spend. We don't care. I've been watching a lot of interesting. I try to do a four step on a lot of this stuff, and so that was interesting to read, and then to hear his perspective. That was super helpful. Yeah. Anyway, I'm a little all over the place. I notice sometimes when I talk, I'll talk about something and then I'll think of an example and then I'll go off on the example and then I won't come back to what I was originally talking about. So I'm trying to be better, but in that trying to be better, I just forgot what I was talking about. So I'm just going to read the daily reflections. I got a few things to do today. We're almost out of time. So I know what I wanted to say. The other day I was sharing and then read the daily reflections. I was like, that's what I said. That isn't exactly what I said. It's just sort of, I think, over time you get sober, it seems to be the same sort of issues for me. And I think we read that in the daily reflections at all. I'm not trying to think like I know something more than other people. It's the same thing that kind of happens in my life. And I think this program knows these are the problems that we are going to deal with eventually. And so, yeah, I don't know. But anyway, I'm not different. February 19th. In the beginning, it was 4 whole years before AA brought permanent sobriety to even one alcoholic woman. Like the high bottoms, the woman said they were different. The skid rower said he was different. So did the artists and the professional people, the rich, the poor, the religious, the agnostic, the Indians and the Eskimos, the veterans and the prisoners. Nowadays, all of these and legions more soberly talk about how very much alike all of us alcoholics are when we admit that the chips are finally down. Absolutely. Absolutely. As Bill sees it, page 24. I cannot consider myself different in AA. If I do, I isolate myself from others and from contact with my higher power. If I feel isolated in AA, it is not something for which others are responsible. It is something I've created by feeling I'm different in some way. Today, I practice being just another alcoholic in the Worldwide Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. Absolutely. And that's sort of the whole thing with my buddy. You know, his mom's like, can you go over there? I go, there's nothing that I can do. All I can do is say, all I can do is share with him what I do, which is what every normal alcoholic would do. I go to a meeting every day. I work with another person, I have a sponsor, and I don't pick up a drink. I guess not in that order. I don't pick up a drink, I go to a meeting every day, I work with other people, and I work with my sponsor. That's what we all should do. There is nothing special about that, and I don't have any special message that's going to help him other than get up, fucking get dressed, and let's go to a meeting. That's, you know, that's the best I got, and I can't be any more than that. Right. Like I said, I sit and talk on this podcast, but I'm just sort of sharing, I think, normal shit that a normal average alcoholic goes through. Right. There's nothing special about me. Just a fucking other bozo on the freaking bus. All right. Have a great day. Later.